Are you ready for some meatball?
You suck, Chris.
Greetings on a cool September evening in the great state of Kansas. I tell you, nothing beats Midwestern fall. And Kansas is Midwest, right? It's considered Midwest, I think. It feels very much like autumn in Chicago, so and follows the seasons, four seasons. So I think it's the Midwest. Great Plains, is that maybe to the west end of the Midwest? I don't know, whatever. It's nice here, feels good, reminds me of growing up in the fall, and I love it. Thanks for listening to the Meatball Composer podcast. Today I'll be talking to Mark Jansen about the upcoming Bears-Giants game. We'll preview it, we'll talk about some things to look for, whether we expect the Bears to win or not. And before that, though, I'm going to take just a few minutes and just kind of unload some things I've been thinking about as a teacher in the pandemic, in this COVID time, just to get it out there. And the reason I do it is it helps me process things. So by listening to me talk, you're going to help me process. So thank you in advance for that. So let's get this thing going. Some pandemic venting or unloading. My day job, I am a music professor, college music professor. Well, it's not podcaster. I know that might be shocking to many of you listening, but nope, that's not it. I'm a college music professor at a small liberal arts college, and most of my job involves instrumental conducting, band, jazz band, pep band, stuff like that. I also do some classroom teaching in music theory and conducting. And in the past, I've also taught other various music classes relating to music history, music composition, music theory, a whole wide range of stuff. Now, music depends so much on being with people, singing with people, playing with people. And in a pandemic, that's been challenging, to say the least. And I'm at a smaller school, so I don't have it as difficult as teachers at larger colleges, or especially public school teachers who have, you know, dozens and dozens of students, and having to keep track of social distancing and, you know, making sure kids have enough space, masks when they're not playing, or special masks that they can wear while they play, which some schools have chosen to do. Bell covers on instruments. Any little thing that can help, contain the virus from spreading through aerosols or contact, stuff like that. So it's been frustrating to figure out, how to rehearse best, because I want to keep everyone far apart, but that affects listening to each other, at least in the band context, how everyone can hear each other and blend and balance. I've gone outside when I can just to help with getting people out in fresh air, not in such tight quarters or classrooms, rehearsal rooms that need to air out more. Get air recirculated. So things I never thought I'd have to think about even a year ago right now. And I found myself constantly anxious and not even really knowing exactly what to point to towards that. It's just this constant general feeling of tension, and I know that others are feeling it in my field, and most probably even to a much greater degree, and makes it hard to focus and do what you got to do to teach your students music. And also in the back of our minds is, and I know this from talking to other music educators, especially at the collegiate level, is trying to do all this and recruiting students for next year and the year after, and just how to, we can't go anywhere, we can't go to schools, can't visit, can't just show up at a high school football game at the school down the street or the next town over. It's really forcing music educators to rethink things that you never really thought you'd have to rethink in the first place, and that's draining. That's just been really draining. And again, a lot of teachers have it so much worse than I do, and I don't know how they're coping with the sizes of programs that they have to be working with and dealing with. And it will get better. Things will change. It sounds like the promise or the hope of vaccines in the next year are looking good, looking pretty promising. But again, that's like a year away. So how long are we gonna have to do this? And of course, I want to be safe. Of course, I want to protect people. Of course, I don't want to take unnecessary risks. But at the same time, will schools be able to survive this, or school music programs? Because, a lot of colleges, the first thing they want to cut is the arts. Because, why do you need the arts, that's a whole different discussion. I won't get into that. But anyway, I just wanted to put some of that out there. And if you know any teachers, music or not, just know that they're having a lot of these same thoughts too. And I especially my sympathy for elementary teachers. It's got to be the hardest on them. Because trying to keep 10-year-olds younger than 10-year-olds all under control is just, oh my goodness. So, if you have teacher friends or know any teachers, give them a nice socially distant hug or an encouraging text or phone call or something like that, because they're feeling it a lot and scared. I've read friends of mine who are teachers who are scared. They put it on their social media about the weight of the responsibility. So anyway, thanks for listening to all that. We all got to stay positive, work together to come out of this better on the other side. Okay, thank you for bearing with me. Bearing. Bears. Let's talk bears with Mark next. One of these days, I'm going to start by saying, let's go out to the phone line. But not today. How's it going, man?
It's going. How about you?
Well, not too bad. It's a gorgeous day here in there Kansas. You go. Middle, central Kansas. So, I was going to bring up something, but I see you mentioned it in your login name here.
I figured we would get to that before we forgot.
Happy birthday, dear Bears.
That's right. You're the meatball composer. Let's see what you wrote for the Bears for their birthday.
Man, I didn't do anything. I dropped the ball.
This is so shameful. To speak. Well, they'll be okay with a belated birthday present.
Like a third string running back in a fourth preseason game.
How about like a rookie running back with the game on the line?
Oh,
ouch!
Oh,
that poor guy.
Yeah. You know, they shouldn't have won that game, but we are past that. We are looking ahead to the New York Football Giants. Oh wait, but before we get to them,
they're football midgets. Sorry,
they are football midgets. No, I was going to say we should mention that. Yes, today the Chicago Bears are 100 years old, officially 100 years old, and I guess that means the NFL is officially 100 years old today. Correct?
Yeah. So what was all that 100th year anniversary nonsense last year?
Well, I think last year it was the 100th season. You know, kind of like how you turn your age changes after you've completed that year. You know, like when you turn one, you've completed a year. I don't know. That's what I thought. So the Bears are 100 years old. And of course, one of my good friends who's a fan of the Packers says, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed the Packers 100th anniversary last year. You know, just got to rub it in that his team's a little older, even though they weren't in the NFL when it first started, or the American Football Football Association.
You should have followed that up with, like you enjoyed allowing a record amount of rushing yards in the NFC Championship game. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, I should have remembered that. Like George Costanza, I should have gone with Jerk Store. So also, you know, I was reading about the start of the National Football League here, or the American Professional Football Association. There are two teams that are still in the league. The Bears are one. Do you know what the other one is?
Giants.
No.
That's a good guess. Let's see.
That would have been a good transition to talking about.
I know. I was hoping it was this apropos. Mm-mm. Let's see. Who else is super old? Pittsburgh.
No.
Philly.
No.
I lose.
Let me tell you what they were called at the time. They were called the Racine Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals?
Yes.
Previously St. Louis Cardinals?
They played on Racine Street in Chicago. They were the what later became the Chicago Cardinals. Yeah.
Maybe they should trade us back that Murphy. That QB Murphy. That's Kyle Murphy for Bears Kyle quarterback.
Murphy.
Trubisky.
He's pretty exciting.
Actually, Kyler Murray is pretty amazing to watch, actually. Super fun. Mm-hmm. I'm all in the Kyler Murray experiment.
I like Kyle Murphy better.
It took me a second to get it right. I'm so busy being a meatball.
So back in the 20s and up until the 60s, there were two pro teams in Chicago. The north side of Chicago.
The golden age of tackling, my friend. We had two teams.
Yeah. We did.
Twice the perfect tackling as other eras.
And the Cardinals played on the south side at Comiskey Park.
So they're the Bears White Sox.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. They played at Comiskey.
Wow. There you go.
So, Sunday, the New York Football Giants come to town. It doesn't matter where they're playing, does it? Since there's going to be
no. It's a can't lose your home opener. It doesn't really matter.
speaking of winning the opener, last week was the first time a Matt Nagy coached Bears team won their opener.
We'd lost six straight openers. Actually, I think it might be the first time a Ryan Pace team has won an opener.
That could be.
It is. Yeah. Yes, because Trestman was with Emery, the genius duo.
Oh, yeah, the Bengals. They started 3-0.
Could go wrong hiring a guy who's only ever been a scout and then pairing him with a CFL coach?
I see no problems.
Yeah, I digress. So the Giants don't particularly scare me, and that scares me.
No. Please, yes. I totally understand that.
I mean, I know everybody rants and raves about Barkley. I get it. He's really exciting and potentially terrific and all, but he has so many games where he's just not able to run effectively, and it's all out of the backfield where he's a weapon, which worries me because Trevathan was miserably bad Sunday.
Yeah.
I love the guy's leadership and all the other stuff, but I hope he gets the concrete off of his shoes before Barkley comes to town. Or they may have to do the thing they did at the end of the Lions game where they were subbing in Deion Bush.
Was that I didn't even notice
that. Yeah, they put him in on passing downs, except for the big one to Swift that he dropped, of course. There's Trevathan again. I mean, he looks like he's stuck in a swamp with that play. Oh, we got some baby rage on the podcast, perhaps. At any rate.
That's nice. Is it possible some of that was rust? You know,
I hope. I mean, that's been one of the big questions in the week, right? There's the A-Rob thing, and then there's is the defense just rusty? Because it looked like a lot of teams put up more points than people were expecting. And I can't remember who said it, but somebody did say he thought the offenses would be ahead because they've been doing offense in camp, but they haven't really been playing defense. And that seemed to have been true, and we just got to hope the Bears are in that boat. Nothing else particularly scares me about the Giants, but Barkley could kill them just because of how bad they looked covering the middle of the field against the Lions, and they didn't play the run well. So I think he's scary to a point, but I also think the rest of the team just isn't very good. Mm-hmm. Am I underestimating them?
You know, it's really hard to try to find things that do scare you other than him about the Giants.
I looked through the roster to prepare for this, and I've only heard of like two players on their defense. I don't know any of their offensive linemen when I looked through it. I'm like, okay, receivers are young and could be good. I think Daniel Jones could develop into a good quarterback, perhaps. They have the least amount of wins in the league in the last 3 years, and that includes an 0-16 Browns team, I'm pretty sure. Like, this is a franchise that is spinning its tires pretty bad here. But they have some good young pieces, but I feel like if the Bears are at all like they were defensively even last year, they should win this game.
So you're thinking they should win, but they'll probably lose.
No, I think they'll win. I still think they'll win. I don't see what the Giants do better than the Bears. Like, both are a work in progress offensively, obviously, with young QBs that are erratic. Theirs has more upside right now than ours because of the time in the league alone.
Mm-hmm.
They need to run the ball, but we have the better D. And actually, at least based on the way they played last week, if that is sustainable, I think we have the better offensive line.
Yes.
Agreed. I just think they... Yeah, like you look at their game against Pittsburgh, they moved the ball plenty, but they made a bajillion mistakes too, turnovers and penalties. I think they'll get in their own way more than the Bears get in their own way. And that's a really optimistic way to look at this game. I just don't think they're that good. They're pretty bad.
So are we looking at a case where the Bears could be 2-0 but still be bad? Is that fair to say?
Yeah. That's it all comes down to what you make. In my opinion, it comes down to what you make of two things. Does Money Mitch's historically good, according to all the sabermetrics in football, the big stat, like tight throws in the fourth quarter stuff, is like historically good fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Is that even remotely predictive? Like, can he build on it? Who knows? And do you trust Nagy the way they actually came out, ran the ball, ran 12 personnel, ran 13 personnel. Montgomery got more carries in 13 personnel Sunday than he did all year last year. If that is actually something they're going to stick to, they might be okay. And of course, if Mitch develops, they'll be good.
But yeah.
That's like the biggest if you could possibly have.
Now the Giants run game last week with Barkley, 29 rushing yards.
Didn't he have, like, some kind of ridiculous thing, like 15 carries and 6 yards?
Something like that. I looked at one point during the game, and he had negative yards. And like.
Yeah, I mean, if you contain the outside, he's always trying to pop it outside. Mm. He's got some Barry Sanders in him, I guess, in that sense. He's not as shifty, and he's bigger. I mean, I just think if you contain him, you beat them.
That's where the Bears' defensive strength is going to be, though, is on the outsides. Like, right. If he's going to get yards, he's going to have to... Is what?
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter because he's only going to rush the passer. Never mind. Yeah.
Quinn. I see.
I mean, do they line up? I mean, Adrian Peterson always plays the Bears tough. He runs right at you, punches you in the mouth, and keeps going. Mm-hmm. That's not really Barkley's style. They had trouble with Josh Jacobs last year, same kind of style where the Raiders just kept running right at them. Barkley's more of a finesse back. And I just don't think that beats the Bears with
no.
the Giants then having to pass a lot. I think there'll be opportunities for sacks because their O-line is pretty weak. And I think Jones will probably, out of sheer desperation, throw a few, you know, let's just see what happens kind of plays. And the Bears are pretty good coming down with those between Fuller and Jackson, at least.
I was going to say, maybe this is an Eddie Jackson center field pick kind of game. If you can disrupt Jones enough, get in his face enough early and often.
I mean, the Lions are bad. The Giants are right there with them. But the Lions, I think, are a better team. We happen to play a really banged up version of them, but they played pretty well. Yeah. Everyone's like, it was the fourth string corner. Yeah, but the corner was covering the receiver when the throw was made. Like, maybe that's worrisome about our receivers. But it's not like these guys were tripping and falling all over themselves. And I just really don't think the Giants are a better team than the Lions. And their quarterback at the moment isn't better.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're one of the worst teams in the league for all I can tell. Like, they're just not done rebuilding. They have a new coach. This has got to be a win if you think you're a playoff team. It just does.
Then why does it make me so nervous?
Because it's like when Lovie Smith's Bears would play the atrocious Lions, and there was no upside to watching that game unless they just stomped the Lions, right? Like, you're like, why aren't we winning by 25 points at halftime? You know, because they're just like so bad that it was so hard to enjoy because you thought unless you just annihilate them, you must be bad. And then they'd always like only win by like, I don't know, 7 or whatever. That's what I think it feels like. Or like playing the Pirates this year in baseball. It's like, oh, we won 3-1. What's wrong with us? You know, it's like that's how this game feels to me. Because I just think they have a bunch of young talent. It's just not ready yet. And they're trying to figure out what they have in several places. And it's got to be a bounce back game for the defense if we're going to take the Bears as a playoff contender seriously.
Yeah. And like you said, so much of that is going to depend on how the middle of the field is played with Roquan and Trevathan.
Roquan was fine Sunday. They may need to just have him spy Barkley. That could work too.
Okay.
Perhaps. They're just like, you follow him around.
Is he a running threat? Barkley? I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Yes, the running back. The running back's a running threat.
It's been a long day. I was thinking quarterback.
I was so confused by that statement. I didn't mock it nearly fast enough. You caught it first.
A long moment of silence. Yeah, see, I think I had Matt Barkley in my head for some reason.
Oh, the listener's gonna love that. I'm gonna hear about that in the old chat.
The quarterback, yeah, he's better than Cutler. Put in Matt Barkley. I had family members on Thanksgiving.
Matt Barkley's playing Sunday. We are good to go, Bears fans.
For some reason, my brain went to Matt Barkley, who was a quarterback, and Roquan Smith would spy the quarterback. So. Yeah, that's how my brain got all messed up there. So, no, having him spy Barkley, I'm with you now. I like it. That would be
especially on third down.
Yes, yeah, I like that idea. So my question to you as we wrap this up here is prediction.
I'll say the Bears win because, again, Giants just aren't that good, and I think the defense bounces back, and I'll take the Bears with a nice healthy dose of running. 26-16. A lot of field goals bend but don't break for the defense and a few turnovers.
Okay. I am going to go Bears 24, and then they do bend, but they give up 3 field goals instead of touchdowns, and they're going to win 24-9 is my prediction, my friend.
3 field goals. I'll take that for sure. Hey, do we need to talk A-Rob?
Yes.
Yeah.
I missed his press conference yesterday. Did you catch it? Anything he said?
I caught quite a bit of it on the radio afterwards. Okay. It's hard to tell where to begin because I guess, first of all, I think it's really dumb that the Bears are flirting with this whole let's not sign him thing. Oh, the cap. I'm just trying to, like, that's got to be what they're worried about and all that kind of stuff. But you're going to cut Bobby Massey. Robinson makes 15 already. You're basically giving him another $5 million next year, but you're cutting 9 or 10 from Massey. Like, that's a given. So I don't know why they're so scared to do it, unless they think they got to pay the quarterback. Which, come on. this guy, like, figure that problem out. If that's a good problem, if you come to it, I think this is pretty obviously someone that you need to extend. The other thing, though, is stop being passive aggressive, Mr. Robinson. I love you. What are you doing on social media? This is just, it's so passive aggressive and awkward. And he's so classy otherwise that I was a little bit like irritated with him for it because it just seemed, oh, no, no, he's super happy to be here. We don't want to, you know, you did all the stuff on your Instagram with removing the bear. It's just like
deleting the pictures.
I guess it's part of negotiating in the modern era, but I did find it a little bit silly on his part. But then his comments were really good, as I expected. But kudos to the Bears on one level. I don't know that I've ever had a heard of a situation where there's a contract issue and then the team's like, let's have the coach and the player talk about it to the media.
Yeah,
and then they both did a great job, actually. Nagy's like, nah, we're not worried about him. He's a pro, and we're going to take care of our own and blah, blah, blah. And Robinson's like, ah, I love the coach. I love the Bears. You know, I'm not going to talk about what I demanded or whatever, but I'm still focused on winning games here. And, I mean, it's like, huh, they actually didn't hide behind it at all, which I thought was pretty interesting. But, again, get the deal done. What do you think?
I suspect he'll be here long term. I think he'll have some kind of offer before they're forced to franchise tag him. Either way, he's not going to be gone.
Yeah, people talking about trading him and everything. Would you trade him?
No, I mean, well,
not even for. I'd probably trade him if it was enough that I could realistically get up into the top pick or two to get a QB.
But you're not going to get a top 10 pick for Allen Robinson, though, are you?
You'd have to combine it with your other one and tank. Yeah. You know, you'd have to be picking like fifth or sixth or something, and a contender gives you a late first, and then you throw that and a future second or something.
That's the thing.
It's so hard to predict because, I mean, Cooper got a first, but he was a couple years younger at the time. Mohamed Sanu last year got a second, and he's nowhere near as good as Robinson. But you're also at the moment that you're, you know, trading away. So it's tricky.
I think Sanu is closer to where what you would get for Robinson, though. I think second rounder tops.
Probably because of the contract situation, because that's what you're trading. Uh-huh. So in that case, Plus, if you do have interest in getting a QB in here in the draft, don't you want to keep Robinson around for the QB's development? I mean, at some point when you finally have a weapon, let's keep it.
Especially your best player on offense.
Yeah. I think he's the second most important player moving forward that they have with any kind of certainty. It's Mac and Robinson. Mitch. Like, everybody else is older or, like, Eddie. I love Eddie Jackson, right? Eddie Jackson, to be clear. But he doesn't play as valuable a position. Kyle Fuller's also really good, but a little bit older. Hicks is way older. I'm just like, for the long term, A-Rob is still a really good investment at – you know, 18 to 20 a year. Now, if he wants Hopkins money, I'd be like, oh, boy, now that might be a problem.
Mm-hmm. And that could be why they haven't extended him yet. Maybe he's overvaluing himself.
Yeah, there's so much we don't know. I mean, there's no reason to get mad at anyone. But I was a little frustrated with the passive-aggressive social media stuff and then frustrated the Bears have let it get to this. But then, you know, yesterday I thought they all handled it pretty well and cooler heads seemed to be prevailing, so...
And he's practicing, right? I mean,
he practiced. He was talking about playing the Giants. He's not holding out or anything.
Yeah. So let's win more games. Let's get it done later. But Pace doesn't usually like to do stuff like this in season. So I'm not too concerned.
Yeah. We'll just
personally.
Yeah. Just let it play out. Hopefully it gets done before it gets too late in the year and we don't end up with a franchise holdout kind of scenario. But
that would be the worst.
I think the other annoying thing is we had this really crazy win, and then like 2 days later, it was Allen Robinson angst. It's like, can we just enjoy the win? No, we can't have nice things.
Well, even you and I weren't enjoying the win because we knew they should have lost because of that poor running back dropping the ball. So
that's true.
And it was the Lions. Thank goodness for Matt Patricia playing man against Mitch Trubisky. That's all I got
to
say.
And Mitch is like, hey, look, it's man defense. We're going to win. That's pretty much what he said in the game. It's like, oh, yeah, we knew what they were going to do at that point.
Coach Patricia, you were outsmarted by Mitch Trubisky.
Oof. Ouch. I feel like that's a stinger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. Okay. All right, my friend, you gonna watch Browns Bengals tonight?
I'm gonna watch a little Joe Burrow while I multitask and hang out with the fam.
That's right. That's a good reason to watch. Okay, I forgot.
That's
about
the only one. Oh, and Cody Parkey on the Browns kicking. What could go wrong?
Oh, gosh.
Is that the perfect storm for a you know what show? Let's put it that way. I don't know if this is a PG podcast.
This is a family friendly show, my friend.
Parkey kicking on the Browns is gonna be a total cluster.
Yeah, something Parkey being on the Browns seems appropriate.
Yeah. You know,
it matches the color matches his play. So.
And the history is all sync well too. Yeah.
All right, my friend.
All right.
We'll be texting during the game, I'm sure. And happy birthday, Bears.
That's right. Happy birthday,
all right,
Bears.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Dr. Mark Jansen, for joining me again. Oh, that's so much fun to talk Bears. We'll be back next week breaking down what we saw in the Bears-Giants game. And hopefully a W. Should be a W. But unfortunately, you never know. Any given Sunday, right? And, well, for us, I think it's which Mitch. A lot of it depends on which Mitch shows up. If good Mitch shows up, if fourth quarter Mitch shows up against the Giants, that's going to be a very nice game to watch. But this Giants team is so bad. I mean, they could win even if Mitch had a bad game. But if they win and Mitch has a bad game, then the Bears are still bad, even though they would be 2-0. 2-0 and bad. So hopefully we won't have to see that, and hopefully we don't have to try to figure out. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. But thanks so much for listening to the Meatball Composer podcast. I'd love to hear any thoughts or feedback. You can send them my way on Twitter. I am at MeatballComp34. You can also send me an email at themeatballcomposer@mail.com. And one more time, just to say it again, happy birthday, Chicago Bears, 100 years. Some great memories, some not so great memories. 9 championships in 100 years. It's not bad, but need more. Need some more. Especially when the only team that has more than you is your biggest rival and north of the Cheddar Curtain. And they have the bragging rights. So that could be maybe my dying wish before I die. Maybe the Bears can catch up to the Packers in championships. Probably a lot to ask, but I'm going to ask it. Make this happen, Bears. I see stars above me. I wish upon a star that the Bears will win. I tried to rhyme, couldn't do it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you next time.
You've been meatballed.